Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Terrace, BC has one of the highest rates of deaths in the province due to the toxic drug crisis, with 98.7 deaths per 100,000 people in 2023. And Indigenous people are almost six times more likely to die from illicit drug poisoning. The Northwest Working Group is a provincial initiative comprised of representatives from the Northern First Nations Alliance, Northern Health Authority, First Nations Health Authority, and the province. The working group aims to address the disproportionate impact by implementing culturally appropriate resources to better serve people living with addiction in the North. I'm speaking to Jennifer Whiteside, Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, today about the working group's approach to this much-needed service. And you'll also hear from Brianna Innes, Chair of Northern First Nations Alliance, as she spoke with CFNR reporter Sabrina Spencer. And on Tuesday, November 21st in Smithers, a rally took place to stop industry-led injunctions by the Community Industry Response Group, a militarized arm of the RCMP, also known as CIRG. The aim of the rally was to apply pressure to the RCMP to sign the armistice agreement tabled by the Gitxsan government in 2022. Chief Guyerts, or Brian Williams, is a Gitxsan hereditary chief who will break down the Gitxsan's role in dismantling CIRG in an effort to inform the provincial and federal governments, BC legal system, and Canadian public about the unwanted actions taking place on Gitxsan territory.
My name is Brian Williams. That's my English name. My chief's name is Guyerts, and I'm a hereditary chief from the Fireweed Clan, and I'm from Kispeox, and I work for the Gitxsan Hulwilp government.
What are the next measures then for the Gitxsan against this injunction?
Well, we have an agreement with the RCMP. We signed an agreement in December 2022 with the chief superintendent. At that time, his name was Warren Brown. However, he has been transferred to a different area, I believe. And the community safety plan is intended to eliminate the need for the court injunctions that are imposed on the Gitxsan. And this is to have a frank discussion with whomever needs to be negotiated, and also to ensure that there is complete safety on the Gitxsan people who are basically protecting their land, their lahip. And we've had one playbook a meeting back in April 26, 2023, just lately, and we're hoping to do another one again probably in a year's time whenever the RCMP are ready to come together with the Gitxsan.
And you're wanting as well to implore the RCMP to sign the armistice agreement that was tabled by the Gitxsan government as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we tabled that also on April 26, 2023, and the RCMP indicated to us that they would get back to us, and to date, they have not responded.
The rally on Tuesday, was there RCMP presence as well, or did you have any response from the RCMP?
I was informed that the RCMP were there, however, they weren't obvious to us, but someone told us that they were somewhere in the background, but I didn't I didn't see them, so I can't confirm whether they were there or not.
What is your next move, then? What do you want to happen next?
Oh, we want to have more discussions with the RCMP, more discussions and possibly more meetings with the ministers that are applying funding to the CIRG, who we believe are getting in the neighborhood of $100 million and have increased their force to 80 from 50. So we want to have a discussion with the courts, with the ministers, and then take it from there.
Do you want to work with the RCMP, or do you want them to leave the territory and stop refusing people access to their own land and their territory?
Well, the RCMP has had a big job, and they follow direction, and we want to work with them. We don't want to eliminate them. They provide a community service that is required by all communities, and that's to keep the peace. And we understand that they have to follow directions, but they do have discretion. And having that discretion makes it a more better way to look at how to work together.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
All right, thank you very much for calling and having an interest in what the Kitsan are looking at. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
My name is Jennifer Whiteside. I'm BC's Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. So we're here to talk about the Northwest Working Group. Can you tell me who or what the Northwest Working Group is?
Yeah, well, we were really compelled to sort of answer a call from First Nations in the Northwest who expressed a really deep need for a forum to be able to work directly with the health authority on scaling up culturally appropriate and Indigenous-led mental health and substance use services for First Nations people in and around the Terrace area. And so that was the genesis of the Northwest Working Group, and it is comprised of representatives from the Northern First Nations Alliance, Northern Health, and the First Nations Health Authority.
And what services are currently available for people living with addictions in and around the Terrace area?
Well, you know, there's a number of services provided by both the Northern Health Authority and the First Nations Health Authority, including a range of mental health and substance use outreach services. There's a substance use resource nurse available in the Northwest to work directly with vulnerable populations. There's in the mental health and substance use division of the Northern Health Authority, there are services such as medication-assisted treatments like opioid agonist therapy provided. There's an adult day treatment program. There's community life skills. And of course, in the hospital, there's acute inpatient psychiatry as well as, you know, on-call psychiatry services at the hospital. The First Nations Health Authority also has a mandate to provide health services working with nations. And so they provide funding and grants to communities related to traditional wellness approaches, land-based healing, some trauma funding for trauma work. And they also deliver on reserve naloxone kits and naloxone training, drug testing kits, and can support referrals to treatment centers.
In understanding and reading and speaking to people in Terrace, but also in reading about the very high numbers of First Nations people in the Terrace area who are disproportionately affected by mental health and addiction, I guess what gaps is the Northwest Working Group proposing to fill?
Well, I mean, you're very right about the disproportionate impact of the, particularly the toxic drug crisis on on First Nations people and Indigenous people in the Northwest. They have a much higher rate of mortality due to toxic drug poisoning. In 2022, Terrace lost Terrace lost 27 people to toxic drug poisoning. And that has been, we've seen quite an increase in those numbers over the sort of the COVID years, during which we have seen a real worsening of the toxic drug crisis. And so there is, you know, there are those gaps in terms of access to services that we're really working hard with partners to fill, because we know that when, you know, when people are reaching out for help and they need to get into either a withdrawal management bed or a treatment bed, they likely are going to have to be sort of, you know, perhaps initially stabilized in Terrace, but they're going to have to make the trip to Prince George. And that can be a really difficult trip, particularly if someone is in a state of where they're withdrawing from whatever substance it is that they've been using. And so we're particularly concerned about making sure that where people do need to be accessing services in Prince George, that journey is properly supported, so they're cared for while they're on that journey, and they can be directly, you know, sort of have a warm handoff to the care at the other end. But really what we need to be working on is providing those services closer to home for people. And that's really what the Northwest Working Group is focusing on, is how we can scale up particularly access to withdrawal management services closer to home.
You know, you're saying a warmer handoff, but do you have any more examples of withdrawal management services and treatment and recovery services for the region that are culturally appropriate?
Well, there are, for example, you know, there are some services available through the First Nations Health Authority, and there is a healing center, an Indigenous-led healing center located in Haisla territory. That's one particular example. You know, the First Nations Health Authority also has really done considerable work to develop and really kind of hone their virtual doctor of the day and their virtual substance use and psychiatry services, which, you know, were particularly necessary, of course, during COVID, but also really are an important pathway to care and support, really even in these post-COVID times. And I know that, you know, in some circumstances, those can be very effective and very, very helpful services. But, you know, it's where somebody has a real need for withdrawal management services, and particularly where they need to be medically supervised. You know, there are some individuals who can be supported on an outpatient basis in their withdrawal management process, but some people really do need bed-based care. They need to be medically supervised, and it's those services in particular that are lacking, and that we're working to scale up in the Terrace area.
And as part of the proposal with the Northwest Working Group, is it to build infrastructure on First Nation reservations and in communities to bring services to people who need it, or for people who maybe might not be able to travel?
Well, yes. Again, what we really want is to try and make sure that care is available closer to home for people who need it. And so in some cases, that is going to mean that there will need to be infrastructure. There'll need to be bed-based treatment services available. And really, it's about providing that continuum of care from the very sort of acute and the very acute withdrawal management process to the moving into the treatment, and then moving into the aftercare piece, because we know that it's so important to support individuals once they've moved through treatment, successful in their recovery.
Absolutely. Are you working with existing infrastructure in Terrace, such as, it used to be known as the BC Schizophrenia Society, but is now the Family and Mental Health Association and the hospital, or are you kind of proposing that this is a system that's able to travel to people where they need it?
We know that Indigenous people face many barriers in our healthcare system, very many barriers accessing healthcare, and we have a real commitment to working with First Nations to build, you know, approaches and pathways to care that are Indigenous-led, that are culturally appropriate, because we know that when it comes particularly to mental health and substance use, culture saves lives. it's so important for people to have access to that cultural framework as they're on their wellness journey. And so we're working with all of the parties to, you know, arrive at what are the best sort of, you know, solutions going to be in terms of, you know, location, bed-based, you know, other opportunities to also kind of leverage what's there in terms of virtual care, looking at, you know, mobile care if that's necessary. But that's really discussions that are ongoing that we're working on with all of our partners right now.
What phase are you at now with these discussions? Is it more kind of strategic at this place, or are you starting to implement any of these processes now?
Well, we started meeting in the spring and entered into a fairly intensive process towards the end of the summer that's been ongoing for the last few months. And I'm very hopeful that we are going to have some very concrete steps in the short term.
Why is the Terrace area so negatively affected by the ongoing opioid crisis?
Oh, you know, that's a really good question, and I don't know that I have all of the answers to that. But I would say that there is, you know, when it comes to individuals and substance use and mental health issues, you know, the origins of how someone comes to rely on substances are varied. It can be trauma, it can be chronic pain, it can be intergenerational trauma. As many sort of individuals and stories as there are, you know, those are all of the different pathways sort of out of addiction that we have to be building and providing for people. You know, I think there's a number of things probably in the Terrace area contributing to the experience that in particular Indigenous communities are experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Minister Whiteside, I thank you so much for your time to speak with me about this. Is there anything about the working group or about this process that I didn't ask that you think is important for our listeners to know?
Well, just to say that I think this process that we are in, where we have, you know, we've built a table that has our healthcare system and our healthcare representatives, both from our regional health authority, from the First Nations Health, and representatives from the nations, really working in partnership in the best interests of designing Indigenous, you know, led healthcare services that will provide a culturally appropriate care. I think it is an example of what we can do, what we can accomplish when we work together. The foundation that's being created and the relationships are so important to be able to provide better care and to see better outcomes and to build healthier communities. And I'm so very grateful for all of the advocacy and the work that the nations are doing, as well as our frontline healthcare providers in the Terrace area.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today about this.
Yeah, really, really happy to. Thanks so much for your interest.
And now, here's CFNR reporter Sabrina Spencer speaking to Brianna Innes, chair of the Northern First Nations Alliance in Terrace.
My name is Brianna Innes, and I'm an elected councillor for K'iK'atla Nation, and I'm also the chair for the Northern First Nations Alliance.
Okay, so it was the Northern First Nations Alliance that's that helping with this addiction support?
Yes. So we have, we're made up of 9 First Nations communities, which are from the Nishka Nation, the 4 communities from the Nishka Nation, Haisla Nation, Kitsilas, Kitsum Kalem, Gitinyau, and K'iK'atla. So we came together, the organization was evolved out of the LNG industry development that was happening in the Northwest, and it was really to address some of the issues that were coming from that. And so we have 4 pillars that are health and wellness, education and training, youth and elders, and housing. We formed this working group that we have for the health and wellness was formed in 2020. And I guess where it kind of went from there is we developed a statement of readiness that we submitted to the First Nations Health Authority, where they approved that and funded our feasibility study and community asset mapping and business plan that we had submitted to the province earlier this year. And then in June, we had met with Minister Whiteside and Premier David Eby, and that's when we found out that Northern Health was actually putting together a proposal for a detox facility or withdrawal management facility in Paris area as well. So they had asked if we could work together because that was an overlap. The detox facility was an overlap from our proposal. So just seeing if we could work together. So we formed the Northwest Working Group, which is involves the Ministry of Mental Health and Addictions, First Nations Health Authority, Northern Health Authority, and us, Northern First Nations Alliance. We just felt that the need is here in the Northwest. So Terrace being the central location to all the communities that are representative in the Northern First Nations Alliance, we just felt that having the services in Paris would be more appropriate than having to send their people all the way to Prince George.
Okay, so you mentioned First Nations group, the Nass Valley, Gigatlak. So why have you chosen Terrace as the area?
It's just more central to all of the communities that are involved with the Northern First Nations Alliance. So, and with Northern Health Plan, they do have the idea of building brand new, but Northern First Nations Alliance has been consistent with our messaging that we need these services now. We don't have time. Time is of the essence, and we don't have the time to wait for a new facility to be built. So we've offered, from our feasibility study and business plan, the interim solution of a facility that is already built and ready to go. That we're really pushing to have facilities sooner than later. We recognize the report in plain sight that was done a couple of years ago that had outlined the racism and discrimination that occurs in the health system, and it's imperative that it be a culturally safe facility.
Okay, so was there any specific cultural practices that will be available at the facility?
We're looking at having elders in place. That's going to be hugely important. And we also recognize that each of our nations, each of our communities, we have different cultural practices. So what we would like to do is have elders available from each of our communities that can be there to guide our members wherever they're from and be that support system for them when they return back home from detox or treatment. It's really going to be directed by our elders on how our culture is played out in the facility.
Okay, great. Is there anything else you'd like to share or add with us at all?
Yeah, just that, this has been in the works for a couple of years. Like, our working group had started in August of 2020. And, it's been a lot of work to get to where we're at right now. And we're really hopeful and encouraged by the province willingness to move this forward. We've had a lot of help along the way from our political leaders in the Northwest, and Ellis Ross has been instrumental in advocating for us at the provincial level, along with other MLAs. Michael Lee has been a huge support. Jennifer Rice. We've had support from our, the mayors in Prince Rupert and Paris, and it's been encouraging to see all different levels of government step up and support this project that we're looking to have hopefully very soon.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it. I know you're very busy with your AGM in Rupert there. So thank you so much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.